first say hello to my guest who's going to be here this evening, and that's Riggy Rackin. Hi, Riggy.
Hi, how are you, Arnaldo?
Well, very good, thank you. Thank you so much for coming into the Cal studio.
Thanks for asking me to come.
Oh, a pleasure. You are one of the, let's say, I think, characters and musicians of the West County, well-known in the West County. Would you go with that?
I relish that description. That's great. We have so many colorful characters. One of the greatest things for me about this community is the parade that takes place right outside your station here, yeah. The Occidental Fools Parade. So I'm a stalwart of that, and that adds flavor to the stew here.
Yeah, that's my favorite event of the year anywhere, honestly. Mm-hmm. It is so pure and lovely. It's just beautiful.
It's a great thing.
And it's if you don't know what it is, that's around the April Fool's Day.
The first Saturday after April 1st.
Yeah, and downtown Occidental, and it is a blast. Ooh, I know you've played, Riggy is a musician, and we'll get to him in a little bit. I better do some other announcements, but he is in here to introduce some of the work he's been on recently and his own work. And some upcoming. Well, tell us about something happening tomorrow, so we better get that out.
Tomorrow is a very a recommendable experience that you could have tomorrow. Travel your 65 miles down across the Golden Gate Bridge and go to the Hyde Street Pier. That's the national park with the smallest national park with the longest name. It's the National Maritime Historic Park at Hyde Street Pier. And they have historic ships. And tomorrow they're having the Festival of the Sea. It's more or less the 25th or so that they've had. And I've been a participant in most of those, and I will do so tomorrow in two spots. Lots of other Sea Music luminaries like Gordon Bach and Jeff Warner, Liz Carroll. There's some really astounding music. It's free.
Wow.
So it's going to be a great time. You get to see historic ships and historic musicians, and the opportunities like this don't happen every weekend.
Is that right where the Balclutha is?
Exactly. I don't know if you've seen that boat lately, but
since they redid it,
and now they're working on the C.A. Thayer, and it's so astounding to see this huge, tall, masted ship with no masts. It looks like an oversized canoe now, but they're really doing some work on it. A lot of the concerts will be on the pier, as well as on the ferry boat Eureka that used to travel across the bay with auto traffic before they built the Bay Bridge.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing about boats, that not a lot survives of old boats. It's it's harsh being in the water.
Right, and that's one of the it's funny that when they bring them out of the water into dry dock, that's when they really die, because seawater is a preservative, and when it gets dry, the things really fall apart. So the floating museum is a great concept, and I know in UK it's a big deal on the Thames and Camden Town and places like that to have historic ships in the water. It serves to preserve them to a greater degree.
Yeah, in fact, when I was there 2-3 years ago, they were just in the process of fixing up the Cutty Sark there down at Greenwich, you know, and it was pretty bare bones, like you were saying.
That was the C.A. Thayer, right?
The C.A. Thayer, yes. So, nice they're preserving those things because, the heritage of the sea, I mean, before aeroplanes, that was it, baby.
Right. And we may, this typical West County pessimistic nature, I think that the sea is going to become important to us again. It's a way of getting goods from A to B and distributing our wonderful agricultural products that we make here throughout the Bay Area. We have a very interesting network of waterways right here in Sonoma County that we could basically have a distributed commerce once again, barges and things like that.
Low energy
usage.
Yeah.
Water's a great lubricant.
And the best solvent.
Right.
In terms of your musician, but now it's interesting, you are mainly a concertina player.
Yes, I had a trip to your native land. I went to England after college to study the English concertina. And I spent a better part of a year in what's called Tyneside, Newcastle-on-Tyne, in the north of England near the Scottish border, where Eric Burden and the Animals were from. And it was a very, very rich cultural stew up there and a great place for the English concertina. So I got myself steeped within this world of not only English traditional music, but the specific music that's played on this first bellows-blown instrument. It predates both the accordion and the bandoneon and the button accordion, as well as the harmonica. This crazy, very eclectic English electrical engineer named Charles Wheatstone went to Southeast Asia.
Not the man with the Wheatstone Bridge I had to learn at school?
That is totally the same person. He
your electric dimming light switches.
Right, all of those things. There's so many things. I've had careers in various electrical worlds as well as the world I'm in now of West County agriculture. But back to Charles Wheatstone, in the 1820s, he went to Laos and he saw this instrument called the sheng, and he took the concept and applied a fireplace bellows to it and came up with what became the English concertina. Just it sprang forth. He was not a musician, yet he came up with this musical paradigm, which has served everything that you see at the Cotati Accordion Festival, my instrument, and the harmonica. It was simultaneously kind of inspired. Nobody knows who it was first in Germany, so there was a parallel development there. But in any case, this small, round, sailor rollicking on the poop deck kind of instrument that everybody is associates with cartoons is actually a very fine musical instrument. I have a, literally my instrument is quite a fine one. I had it made near Stonehenge in England about 20 years
ago. Out of stone?
Actually, it's made out of the wood they used to make hand grenades out of before they made them out of metal.
Oh my goodness.
It's grenadilla wood. It's called grenadilla for the hand grenade. It's called the hand grenade for grenadilla wood because it was this toxic wood that would injure the soldiers and poison their wounds.
Oh, how pleasant.
But for some odd reason, I didn't tell him to use grenadilla wood, but Colin Dipper, my instrument maker, he chose that that wood to work in, and it's a very beautiful red concertina. Mm-hmm. So I would like you to play a little cut off of my latest CD. It was produced here in Sebastopol by Jeff Martin at Studio E, and we're going to listen to a tune. It's an Irish song that's based on an Irish tune called Off to California, and it's a very interesting character development here in a kind of a Irish vaudeville kind of song.
All right.
Off to California.
My name is Paddy Leary. I was born in Tipperary. In the hearts of all the ladies there, I am a thorn in. Come the break of morning, it's they who'll be forlorn in, for I'm off to California in the morning. With my bundle on my shoulder, there's no man could be bolder than leaving dear old Ireland without warning. For I've lately took a notion for to sail the briny ocean, and I'm off to California in the morning. There's a girl named Kate Malone who I had hoped to call my own. Children on our cabin floor adorning. My heart is sad and weary. How can she be Mrs. Leary if I start for California in the morning? With my bundle on my shoulder, there's no man could be bolder. I'm leaving dear old Ireland without warning. For I lately took a notion for to sail the briny ocean, and I'm off to California in the morning. They told me I must leave this place. Tried to keep a cheerful face, show my heart's deep sorrow I'm scorning. For the tears will surely blind me, for the friends I'll leave behind me when I start for California in the morning. With my bundle on my shoulder, as no man could be bolder, but I'm leaving dear old Ireland without warning. For I've lately took an notion for to sail the briny ocean, and I'm off to California in the morning. My name is Paddy Leary. I was born in Tipperary. In the hearts of all the ladies there, I am a thorning. Come the break of morning, it's they who'll be forlorning. From off to California in the morning. With my bundle on my shoulder, there's no man could be bolder. I'm leaving dear old Ireland without warning. I lately took a notion for to sail the briny ocean, and I'm off to California in the morning.
Well, off to California. So, Riggy, Somewhere in Between is
yes,
your
this
album.
Is my latest album. It's not that recent, 2010 or so. I worked this out with Jeff Martin. As I said, he owns Studio here in town, in the Sebastopol town, and a very fine engineer. He plays the bass on this recording, helped to do a lot of the production on it. There's another fine musician in the English tradition who lives here in Sebastopol named John Berger.
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
I go to his house concerts. Folk house concerts.
Did you know that he and his wife both have famous parents?
No.
His father is Jean Berger, spelled J-E-A-N, who is a Parisian Holocaust survivor, Jewish. He's the foremost composer of liturgical music for the Episcopal Church.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've met many people who are, what do they call those, choir directors for Episcopal congregations, and they all know Jean Berger's, Jean Berger's father's music very well from the 50s and 60s, so he's got the songbook for these people.
The gold standard
of Episcopal. And Kalia, his wife, her dad is Cliban, the cat cartoonist from the 60s and 70s. Everybody had the coffee table books with these great cat cartoons predating all the other cat fascinations. But it's great to have those two people here in town and opening their home every month or so to a great set of musicians from the British Isles. Usually at the end of this month, they're having Brian Peters, who's a wonderful concertina player and singer, at their house on the 28th. So there's opportunities to hear this music live. I had a great time, as I said, making this CD, but it all goes back to a story that I tell on my website. My website is 5-letter URL. Very lucky there. I got riggy.com.
Oh, yeah.
And in my story, I have it broken up into various sections, but in my story on the concertina, I talk about how I ended up in the north of England. And it was quite an interesting confluence of events. I had been going to college in Philadelphia, but my parents had moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the time in the late 60s, and I was working on my vacations in a record store, and we had this deal with the owner that we could bring in the records that we no longer listened to for whatever we were interested in the time. So I got all these great music from, because I'd first been playing Appalachian music, and I was looking for the roots of that, and I found out that a lot of it was really English music. So I ended up getting all these English records from imported records from Topic and Leader Trailer and things like that. And I had all these records, but this one recording of this group from Newcastle on Tyne called the High Level Ranters, it was Northumberland Forever. Wow. It just blew me away, and it had the concertina on, and I hadn't really heard a concertina much before, but I fell in love with this music. I'd like us to hear Hexhamshire Lass, which is the song that turned me on to English folk music.
You actually remember.
Absolutely.
It's emblazoned in your memory.
That's a great pronunciation.
I'm got to see me lass that lives in Hexhamshire. I'm for the love for weel, I'm on the love for better. I love the lass myself, I'm a devil I can't get at her. I'm through the service site, and now all the moss and the mire. I'm got to see me lass that lives in Hexhamshire. Of this love I'm weary, sleep I cannot get then, the thing that love me dearly, on through the same sight, and now with the moss and the mire, I'm got the same in lass that lives in Hexhamshire. A petticoat is silk, a plaited room with silver, her shoes are tied with tape, she'll wear till I can tell.
Ah, yes, and that was the Hexhamshire Lass.
Hexhamshire Lass. Hexham is a great little town in outside of Newcastle in the country. And this was sung by Tommy Gilfellan of the High Level Ranters. Wonderful song. And I really feel so toasty about that, that whole experience. I got to live in the castle of Newcastle. I came in cold, a totally naive American, and just because of the music that my partner, a fiddle player named John Specker, and I were playing in Newcastle, we ended up living in the castle and being getting to live with the people whose records I had collected the year before in Milwaukee. All of them came to live in the castle at the same time I was living there, so I got to live with Peter Bellamy and all of these, Andy Irvine and Roy Bailey, and it was just like living in the center of things.
A confluence of stars all happened. Yeah.
But the most important person for me...
Well, hold on. First of all, we say Newcastle, but describe Newcastle. It's you know,
it's salty.
Okay.
All right. We as Americans, we've heard the stereotypical phrase, carrying coals to Newcastle, that meaning that you're bringing something that isn't required to a place that already has plenty. So Newcastle, for basically the Industrial Revolution, was born there because the fossil fuels that drove the steam engines and the railroad cars that later became the Industrial Revolution were mined there. The whole underlayer of the city was honeycomb of these coal mines. For, as I said, for 200 years, they mined heavily. And when various times people would come to the castle, and I'd have to find temporary housing other places. One of those places was a place called Biker Hill. There's songs about that as well. But the houses there are all falling into the ground because the ground underneath them has all been taken away for coal. Mm-hmm. So it
and
was
all the mines underground.
Under the houses, under
subsiding.
The streets. They're subsiding. So it was a very interesting thing. There was one house I lived in, I remember, where if you didn't latch the doorknob with the hasp into the little lock, the door would swing around and the doorknob would put a new hole in the wall behind it because the house was so tilty. Okay. So in this world of coal mining and
Shipbuilding,
exactly, along the quayside, which is the River Tyne there, alongside. All of these industrial activities were documented by people like Ewan McCall and A.L. Lloyd and a local boy named Lou Killen. So he became, long before I moved to England, he became one of my heroes, and he could sing a song like nobody's business. He had kind of a funny nose condition, and he had several operations that dealt with that during the time I knew him. He did live in San Francisco, where the festival is tomorrow. He was the volunteer coordinator there for 5 years, so I knew him when he lived in San Francisco. I got to do a 11-page article that's up on my website, riggy.com, as a PDF. So if you want to find out more about Lou Killen, very wonderful man. Unfortunately, just passed away. And I should say, very wonderful woman, because at 72, Louis fulfilled his lifelong dream of becoming Louisa. And it was very wonderful to see him fulfill that. And he posted pictures of himself as a woman on all these sites, and yet still sang with his macho guy voice. So it was great. I saw Jez Lowe recently and picked up one of his latest recordings, also at John Berger's house, at a house concert. And there's Louisa sounding just like Lou Killen from the good old days. Okay. So I'd like us to hear one of my favorite really sad songs, but talk about perfectly constructed concertina accompaniment. This is a phenomenal thing. So this is Trimden Grange Explosion.
Not think of tomorrow, lest we disappointed be. Our joys may turn to sorrow, as we all may daily say. Today we're strong and healthy, but tomorrow comes a change. As we may see from the explosion that's occurred at Trimden Grange. Men and boys set out that morning for to earn their daily bread, not thinking that by evening they'd be numbered with the dead. Let's think of Mrs. Burnett, once had sons but now has none. By the Trimden Grange explosion, Joseph, George and James have gone. February left behind
find it what will never be forgot. Weeping widows, helpless children may be found in many a cot. They ask if fathers left them, and the mother hangs her head, with a weeping widow's feelings tells the child its father's dead. God protect the lonely widow and raise up each drooping head. Be a father to the orphans, do not let them cry for bread. Death will pay us all a visit, they have only gone before. And we'll meet the trimmed and victims where explosions are no more.
Oh, that was lovely, Reggie. That was really
Lou Killen,
nice.
Lou Killen.
Beautiful. Just that wistful and whimsy and all those words seem to come from that music somehow.
So wonderful. It's actually one of the saddest songs I've ever heard. I don't know if you caught it, but it was talking about how can we hold on to life because it's so ephemeral, and you can be young and healthy today, but tomorrow you'll be dead. So,
right.
Not exactly whimsy, but still meaningful. Yeah. And it was so well reflected by his concertina playing, which is still the best example of recorded English concertina, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow. Well, we're back to Riggy Rackin here, is my guest in the studio. Hi, Riggy.
Hello, hello.
And we've been wandering around the northeast corner of England, but let's go way back. We heard how you got into concertinas, but really, where did you grow up, and what was your inspiration into music?
Well, I never grew up. Why I fit in with the Occidental Fools Parade somehow. But I did. I grew up in just outside of New York, in New Jersey. My dad was kind of like me in that he was a funny. He was a beatnik. He had the beret and the goatee and the surrealist painting and the musician. And he took me to Greenwich Village in the late 50s. And I got to hear folk music there played with jazz and poetry and all these kind of stereotypical beatnik activities I got to do with my dad. We just really had a good time, and I enjoyed that milieu. When I got into my early teen years, I took on, at his suggestion, the classical guitar. So my first instrument was classical guitar, and I studied with a fellow who studied with Julian Bream in England, named David Harris, and he was excellent teacher in Greenwich Village, and at the same time as doing the classical music, I was doing they had in Washington Square in Greenwich Village, they had this Sunday sort of musical jam thing with sort of bluegrass, and the Greenbrier Boys were there, and Jody Stecker, who's quite a stalwart here in San Francisco. Yeah. All these people were just there and available and willing to show people like myself how to do things and to choose instruments and all the possible options for folk music and where it can go. Another thing that was very big around that time was a whole rebirth. For some people, it was Jesus, and I never really got into that. I never really got into Judaism, which was our roots here. Mm-hmm. But I did really enjoy some of the music around Judaism. There was a whole tradition with a fellow named Shlomo Carlbach. I don't know if you've heard that name.
No, I don't.
But he's a fellow who became kind of a cult figure with these wordless prayers, melodic prayers. So you didn't need to know Hebrew. You didn't need to know Yiddish or any other arcane language in order to pray. You could just sing melodies. So I learned some of these, and they ended up being very malleable and could be adopted into English folk music. So on my first CD, which I did as a sort of a overview of some of the religious musics of various sorts that I had been exposed to in my teen years, in my 20s, I put this, it's called Nigun, which is Niggun.
How's that spelled?
N-I-G-U-N. And that's a wordless prayer. And I'd like you to play that one, the cut 14 off of my, this is my CD called Search Hills and Valleys Through.
Ay, 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 ay.
That was pretty strange. By the way, I should say that this CD and my second one, which is called Nautical Pastoral and Pub Song, were both produced here by a local producer, another one who's local to Sonoma County, named Michael Harmon. So I really wanted to thank Michael. I think he might be out there listening. So thank you for your production work on Search Hills and Valleys Through. Next thing, I wanted to go back a little further to my classical guitar roots and play this song by one of my teachers. I go to England every decade or so, and I study with a guy named Dave Townsend at a festival called Concertinas at Whitney, a market town outside of Oxford. And it's a wonderful experience. But he does some wonderful classical guitar and concertina duets. And that's something that I'm working on with a couple of people here. And I've worked with Paul Rodriguez and Terry Mills here in town, both people who live very near Occidental. And we're hopefully going to get something together, doing something similar to this Maid of the Mill by Dave Townsend.
Thank you. sail the world over, north, south, east, and west. But the middle of nowhere's where I like it best, where it's a wave over wave, sea over bow. I'm as happy a man as the sea will allow. Well, there's no other life for a sailor like me but to sail the soft sea, boys, sail the sea. There's no other life but to sail the salt sea. The work it is hard and the hours are long, but my spirit is willing, my back it is strong. But when the work's over, strong liquor will pour, and we'll dance with the girls upon some foreign shore. But when it's a wave over wave, sea over bow, I'm as happy a man as the sea will allow. There's no other life for a sailor like me but to sail the salt sea, boys, sail the sea. There's no other life but to sail the salt sea. I leave my wife lonely 10 months of the year, though she gave me a home and raised our children dear. But she'll never come down to bid farewell to me, nor to ken why a sailor must sail the salt sea, where it's a wave over wave, sea over bow. I'm as happy a man as the sea will allow. There's no other life for a sailor like me but to sail the salt sea, boys, sail the sea. There's no other life but to sail the salt sea. I've sailed the world over for decades or more, and oft times I wonder what I do it for. Well, I don't know the answer, it's pleasure and pain, but if life to live over, I'd do it again. For it's a wave over wave, sea over bow, I'm as happy a man as the sea will allow. There's no other life for a sailor like me but to sail the salt sea, boys, sail the sea. There's no other life but to sail the salt sea.
The incredibleness of the human spirit we're just talking about here with Riggy Rackin. And he has been my guest here. And what was that song, Riggy?
That was a song from Newfoundland called Wave Over Wave. It's pretty popular. A lot of people have recorded it. I'm very happy the way it turned out.
Let's jump to the present. What you do now is organic farming, and you mentioned the word neem. Tell me.
Yes. No, I'm not in doing organic farming.
Okay.
I'm actually, the reason I moved to Sonoma County was to work for General Hydroponics.
Okay.
Who is a great organization here in the county, and I helped to run their factories by bringing in raw materials. And there was a fellow in the yard here who knew about neem, and it was very interesting. So it's just a tree bark that is a they noticed that the ants wouldn't crawl up this tree. So by getting the oils from the bark, they're able to provide plant protections through this neem oil. And it's marketed in a various ways, sprays and things like that. But no, my participation in agriculture was very peripheral. For a while there, I was part of an intentional community on Green Valley Road that has a presence even here at the Occidental Farmers Market. But that was very, very fulfilling and part of my life experience.
Indeed.
But for now, I'm going to be focusing in on music more and more in my life, and looking forward to a post-retirement career doing things like this, and working in recording studios as a studio musician. I got to enjoy a great time exactly a week ago, providing a concertina track on Kathy Kallick's new record. She's a well-known East Bay bluegrasser, and it's excellent. You know, these people, Kevin Russell here in town.
Oh, yes.
There's a bunch of people who are interested in the sonority of the English concertina and what it can do for country music and singer-songwriter and those kinds of things. So Nashville, I hope to have as a destination for me in my retirement. I did a thing on this last recording with Jeff Martin on my recording called Somewhere in Between. I call it that because it's not English and it's not country. It's somewhere in between the two. But there's a whole idiom called English country dance, which is a formal kind of, it's really Baroque English music put into folk format. And we did a tune here called The Merry Andrew. And I think this would be a great folk show theme song. It's got everything you need in terms of familiarity and blandness at the same time, and it's a very interesting thing. So it's over here, and it's cut three on the CD called Somewhere in Between.
Lovely.
The Merry Andrew. The Merry Andrew is a great concept. It was a theatrical device in plays at Shakespeare's time. There were these guys who would be in a variety of plays called the Merry Andrew. That was the character's name, and he was the doctor who subscribed laughter as medicine. So it's in a great bunch of these Baroque era plays.
Oh, lovely. Now, one thing, we talked about, obviously, folk, and we'd spoken before, I think, last week about, obviously, the folk scene in London. You were talking about Cecil Sharp House and the
Camden
resources.
Town.
Camden Town, which is where I came from, and I grew up right across the road from me was the English Country Festival was used to happen every year in the park right across from me.
And Hampstead Heath? No.
Yeah, Hampstead Heath, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
And had a wonderful grounding in listening to that old music, which was really become at the time, it was, you know, passé at
the time. Right. And there's so many times this happens with the indigenous music gets rejected by the young people, and it only survives among the old people. And then all of a sudden, usually the great grandchildren or something, right. They go, "Wow, that was really cool." And luckily, if they're lucky, grandpa or great grandpa isn't dead yet. So that was an interesting kind of dynamic.
Yeah. So tell us. about what's some upcoming events now.
So once again, tomorrow is going to be a really historic occasion down at the historic ships at Hyde Street Pier, the very end of Hyde Street, where the cable car dumps into San Francisco Bay. It's a beautiful setting. You have the Golden Gate Bridge and Angel Island right there in front of you, and great photograph potentials there. Wonderful set of performers. As I said, Gordon Bach will be there, Jeff Warner, Liz Carroll. It's bridging a lot of gaps. A lot of people I've known in various parts of my life are all going to be there. And a lot of this is described, these histories, personal histories, and history in general is described on my website, riggy.com. All the music.
That's R-I-G-G-Y.
Right. And that's a funny little thing, and there's some descriptors on that. We can go into that some other time. But riggy.com has, you can download all of these recordings. They're samples, and you can purchase MP3s of the whole albums. You can buy hard copies. There's I'm also an amateur. I'm not a photographer. I want to make it clear. I take pictures. I find myself in the right place, and I push the button, and I think that I'm lucky that I end up in such beautiful places. A lot of places along Coleman Valley Road. I can't believe how beautiful.
Oh, yes.
San Francisco Bay, Marin County, the East Bay. They're just astounding. Beautiful places here, and I've got about 80 photographs up there too, as well, for you people to enjoy. And I've told several of the landscape painters here in town that if they want to take it, I have no ownership. This is is really the natural world's ownership, not mine.
Well, you should send a few of the photos in for me, and I will include them in our next Cal's newsletter that'll be beautiful. Coming out at the end
this
of the month.
This record here has 50 JPEGs. So right here as computer files on Search Hills and Valleys through some of my early, but they're not bad, photographs. I have about 50 of them on this CD, along with all the words and chords for all the songs as well.
Oh, so wonderful.
I did a multimedia kind of thing for my first CD. Very strange project, but it's what we did back in 2000. I wanted to go into one thing before I say goodbye and talk about that whole dynamic that you had with going to Hampstead Heath and hearing this music that was kind of neglected. Well, I had the same thing happen to me when I moved back from England. I moved to Boston for 10 years. And for some odd reason, the Irish community there was being neglected. The mainstream musicians had very little interest in it. There wasn't, people weren't promoting it. The chieftains had some initial exposure, but the mainstream didn't really understand Irish music. And I was a fledgling player, and for some odd reason, they took me on as a bridge builder between the mainstream youth culture and the old men of the Irish music scene. And they got me to co-produce a recording there in Boston from a Cultus Culturae Éireann. That's the Irish government's international Irish music promotion organization. I was working with them, and we did this record called We're Irish Still. And I played concertina and guitar on this cut. I did finger picking guitar, and this, I'll say goodbye to you with this. This is the Barn Dance from the record We're Irish Still by Cultus Culturae Éireann.
Thank you so much, Ricky.
Bye bye.